We're going to talk today about being filled in spirit, which is a really great thing. To be filled in spirit is kind of like putting air in the tires. When it gets really practical, you have bumps in the road and you put air in the tires and you just can go over the bumps with Jesus. It's really good. You know, being spiritual has a lot of different connotations for a lot of different people. Just like to review that a little bit. You know, some people think spiritual means that you do weird things. I'm a spiritual person. I do weird things. One time I talked to a guy. He was really into healing people. And he told me, Rex, you know, he's a Christian. And he said, Rex, soon I'm just going to go into that hospital and start healing. I was thinking, like, go ahead. I don't know, you know, there's different things talking about spiritual, different things about, you know, what that means. But, you know, some people think it, you know, if I'm spiritual, I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want to do. You know, I'm spiritual. Don't touch me. Don't tell me what to do. But we like to look at what the Bible says about spiritual, and I'd like to bring up a verse fitting for the season as kind of like a good principle of what the Holy Spirit does. This is Mary. Mary, this is Luke 1:35. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And I like this little picture of, you know, when the Holy Spirit worked with a person, this is the first example of that work of the Holy Spirit with a person in the New Testament. And there was a virgin there. And the Holy Spirit came upon her. And then something came out of her. It was Jesus. What comes out of you? The Son who will come out of you will be called Holy, the Son of God. Congratulations. Can I say what's on your Facebook? You know, of course, everyone knows it already. One time Peter was saying, "Hey, did you hear this person's marrying this person?" And I was like, "What? Did you find that out on Facebook?" I was like, "Yeah." Well, something is going to be added to the Woods family, right? new Woods. It's very, very joyful. You know, that's just like the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you know, you shouldn't just act weird. You shouldn't just feel good. But somewhere in your life, Jesus comes out. And how does he look? Well, he looks like Jesus. And you say, "Rex, can you be more specific?" No, if something looks like Jesus, that is very, very broad. It may look like kindness. It may look like ability to handle something. It may look like somebody gets saved. It may look like you get saved. It may look like you start preaching the gospel. It may look like you stop stealing. It may look like you do a lot of different things. But you look at it and it's like, wow, that thing looks like Jesus. And what? That person had the Holy Spirit come upon them. And when you think about Holy Spirit come upon you, you just think about the Lord Jesus being produced. And you start to look like him. You start to look like him. Your actions start to change. Your shaping starts to be different. You become a very solid human being. Very solid. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I love stories. You know, George Bush gave this testimony to the leader of China one time. He's, you know, anyway, this is what I heard a Christian say, so you never quite know. He told the leader of China, you should believe in Jesus. I believed in Jesus. Before I believed in Jesus, I was an alcoholic. Now I believe in Jesus, I'm a president of the United States. you think it's true or not. I don't know. But whether or not it was true that he actually said that to the leader of China. You know, I just like that kind of story. You know, when you believe in Jesus, your life gets better. Your life gets better. And how is it shaped? It's shaped not in a weirder way, but slowly you look more and more like the Lord in this verse. It's like you're transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Spirit works in you, and all of a sudden, there's a shape that comes out, and that looks like Jesus. Responsible. Firm. Valiant. Serving the Lord. Joyful. With an inner energy from the Father. It just looks like Jesus. And you say, how should I do that? How can I look like Jesus? Well, this verse tells you, just keep looking at the Lord. You could try to do all those things, which is noble effort. But this verse is like, the more you just look at the Lord, the more you gaze, beholding the glory of the Lord. You see the Lord, you see Him a little bit, you look at Him a little bit more, and there's something that's a little different. A Christian has a wonderful hope. I hope that at 6 p.m. today, I'm going to be different than right now, 11:30. I hope. And how can I be different at 6 p.m. today than 11:30? I just look at the Lord. If between now and 6 p.m., I have a little glimpse of the glory of the Lord, you know what? I am being transformed. I'm being transformed. And you just have this huge hope. That's why you could really mess up, royally mess up. And, you know, people could look at you and say, wow, that was a real big mistake. And you could say this, hey, but you know what? I can look at the Lord right now. And what does that give me? It gives me hope. And then you may say, well, I'm just not changing that quickly. I'm not changing. I wish the Lord would change this. Well, then somebody would look at your life and say, you know, 5 years ago, you were really different. You think, well, how can I, you know, am I changing quickly? No, that's not what the verse says, but it's like you're changing. 5 years ago, you're really different. How does that work? It's the work of the Spirit inside you. Well, you know, this is like the base. What is the work of the Spirit? What is the work of the Spirit? What does the Spirit look like? Comes upon you, makes Jesus come out of you, and makes you look more and more like the image of Jesus. And then Acts, the book of Acts, has a lot of people who are filled with the Spirit, or full of the Spirit. And we want to look at some of those examples. I like the example of Acts 4:31. I'll read that. Can we read that all together? And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. There are a lot of verses like this. You know, when you look in Acts, and you see a person who is filled with the Spirit, what usually happens is they speak the Word of God. They don't get weird. Like, you know, you see a few examples of people that were, you know, filled with the Spirit and cast out demons, or filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues. You know, some of those other examples are there. But a lot of times, people, I would say the majority of the places in the book of Acts, when people are filled with the Spirit, what happens? They start speaking the word. It's not enough just to be a nice guy. I like my example in graduate school. Let me tell you, when I thought jeans were like, I won't wear jeans because that is not a Christian thing. Peter, I would not be like you. Come here, look at these jeans. Jeans, no socks. I would not be like that. So I thought, I want to wear these pants. And I just went through one of these phases. Now I wear jeans. You should see me on Wednesday. Come over, see my jeans. So, and don't get upset about wearing jeans. You know, keep wearing jeans. No collection. No. So I thought, like, you know, I'm just expressing God. And then one of the professors in my graduate school asked me, "Are you a Mormon?" And then I was like, "Oh, this is not working at all." You know why it's not working at all? Because I was just expecting people to just look at my life and see something that was, you know, wow, there's Jesus. You know what? It takes speaking. You know, and to speak, thank you, Peter, you can sit down. To speak, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Because to speak to somebody about Jesus, you know what? Oh, it's just not that easy. It's just not that easy. I will just admit it. It's just not easy. You kind of like have to like take the plunge sometimes and say something. And in Acts, there were people that said a lot of things. And, you know, you look at people around you and it's like, wow, I know what that person will say if I say something. Or, oh, that person knows me too well. I can't say something. And then, or I don't know, you know, maybe I need to get to know that person a little better before I say something. Or that person, we have this other kind of relationship and I can't say something. And then the weird thing is, you're filled with the Spirit and all those reasonings go away. And let me tell you, they were filled with the Spirit, and in Acts, you have like some fantastic examples of people speaking to, you know, crowds and thousands of people getting saved. And I would say, like, you know, if you follow the Lord for, you know, maybe 25 years, 30 years, you might have 4 or 5 really fantastic experiences. You know, because I've been preaching the gospel for a while, and I have like maybe 1 or 2 really good stories. And then you hear it, and you're like, wow, that happens all the time. No, actually, it happened 5 years apart from each other, or something like that. But let me tell you a more typical filled with the Spirit incident. This happened at Dave's Market right down the street. And you would ask me, Rex, were you having that great of a day? No. Were you having that great of a week? No. And was your mind occupied by other things? Yeah. And then I was checking out food, you know, at the counter. And then all of a sudden, I just wanted to give a testimony. I was filled with the Spirit. And you know what? I started floating 5 feet above the floor. No. What's that? It wasn't that. I healed him right there on the scene. Filled with the Spirit, and I just healed him. No, you know what? I was filled with the Spirit, and I just could say to this one guy at the counter, I love the Lord. I'm a minister. And you know, and then he said, "Oh, I'm Jewish. What do you do all day?" He just couldn't understand, like, what do you do all day? And we had a great conversation after that. And, you know, did he get saved or whatever? No. But then you would ask, like, Rex, were you doing well enough that day to say, like, yeah, I really want, you know, I don't think at that point I could say, you know, I really want you to be like me. Because it wasn't that great. But somehow, just filled with the Spirit, and what? Something comes out. I can speak to this person. You know what? That is exactly like the book of Acts. Exactly like the book of Acts. When you're filled with the Spirit, can speak. Well, there's this other, there's this other little phrase in Acts. Let's read Acts 6:3, and then I'll explain 6:3, but I want to look at this phrase. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. And there are 2 phrases in the book of Acts that I like to think about these phrases. Filled with the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. And then here, it's like 7 men full of the Spirit. full of the Spirit. And it's kind of different. There's filled with the Spirit, and there is full of the Spirit. And whenever you see that word, filled with the Spirit, it's like this. Wow, this situation arose. People needed to be spoken to. The word needed to be preached. And they were filled with the Spirit. And then there's this other thing. Like, we have to choose some men here. And you know how we will choose them? We'll look for who is full of the Spirit. It's kind of like their characteristic. It's kind of like their, something could describe. This person is full of the Spirit. This person is not. Filled with the Spirit is very situational. I would say, like, in that grocery store example, somehow the person who was checking out my groceries, who was Jewish, somehow he needed to hear a word. So, you know what? I went by, and I was filled with the Spirit, and nothing miraculous happened. I don't know if he'll get saved, but at least I got to share something with him. Filled. But then there is full. Full. You look at Stephen. He's a man full of the Spirit. You look at Barnabas. He's a person full of the Spirit. And there's a difference. This is my theory. I think if there are enough times that you're filled with the Spirit, you become a person full of the Spirit. It's like this. You're just like kind of open to the Lord, and there is an experience of being filled with the Spirit, and then you just all of a sudden your person kind of changes, and it becomes such that you're full of the Spirit. You're very close to the Spirit. It's kind of like this. Sometimes, I was talking to this one girl one time, and she said, I can't follow the Lord anymore. You know, I can't be as close to the Lord as I used to be, because I used to spend an hour in my closet, you know, in a private place every day praying. And now, I have a baby. And the baby does not allow me to spend an hour in my closet or whatever, not a closet, but just private place praying. And I think it's like this. There are intentional times in life, in our life, in our day. Intentional times. Silent. Maybe some are silent. Some are loud intentional times. I had a lot of loud intentional times. And then if you have enough intentional times where you really touch the Spirit, you're really filled with the Spirit, the proper end to that is you become a person full of the Spirit. Some people like to pray really loud. I went through this phase when I just wanted to pray really loud. And, and I would pray with other people really loud. And so one time, I'll tell you this story. I might have told it before, but, we'd just pray. And I remember singing a song together with another person really loud, like Rock of Ages. We just sang that song for about 40 minutes, an hour. And one time we were praying together, me and a friend in a car, and we just pulled into this parking lot, and it was dark late at night, you know, about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. And then we just started praying, and we prayed so loudly in the car that the neighbors heard. And then the police came. Oh, wow. And they shined their light on, and it was like, show us your hands. And they're like shining the flashlight in. And then it was like, what are you doing? And they're like, we're praying. I don't know if they believed us or not. No, we had no gun. And we didn't have any illegal substance in the car. No, nothing. But it was a run-in with the police, you know, for prayer. But it was an intentional time, and we really touched the Lord that way. And you have these intentional times, and that's a real value of intentional times, like 5 minutes after you wake up in the morning. The first thing you do, intentional time. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And you have an intentional time, and another intentional time, and another intentional time, maybe a silent prayer, maybe a loud prayer, maybe like, Lord, right now, I want to be filled with the Spirit. A lot of times of like speaking to people and having this kind of experience. Then you become a person full of the Spirit. It's kind of at a point where you just kind of know the Spirit. And that is what Barnabas was. And that is what Stephen and the six other people were. They're full of the Spirit. Just kind of knew the Spirit. It doesn't mean they become supermen, but it just becomes, I'm just really close to the Spirit. The only other time I've seen this is if you look at a person who has somehow suffered a lot for the Lord. Somehow suffered a lot. And they're pressed on by the Lord, and their spirit is pressed. Their soul is pressed. They're undergoing some kind of suffering for the Lord, and it's kind of like they're olives, and they're just pressed, and then the oil just kind of comes out. It's like, wow, that person's full of the Spirit. They're sparkly. They're sparkly. Something about the Lord, it's really close to them. It's either intentional, filled, and then you become full, or there's that kind of suffering that takes place in a person's life, and they are turning to the Lord, turning to the Lord, turning to the Lord, and then it's like full of the Spirit. And it's very interesting what they can handle. I really like this. Let me read this to you. Acts 6, 1 through 3. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." Nope. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I like this. You know what happened? You know, every day, at that time, I think the church in Jerusalem was kind of like somehow they had, this was what went on in the church in Jerusalem. All the widows had some kind of like food that was given to them every day. You know, there was a daily dispensing. And then, there was a complaint by the Hellenist, that is the kind of like the Greek influence, Greek speaking Jews, against the Hebrews, which are the Hebrew speaking Jews, the natives or whatever, because they were being neglected. And so it's really interesting. It's like a church issue, church problem. And it's simple. It's like just, you know, it's not a theological thing. It's just a very organizational, practical thing. And you know what they needed to deal with this thing? Because there's complaints. They needed 7 men of good reputation who were full of the Holy Spirit. I like it. Oh my goodness. How much the world is full of complaints. And how much the church could be that way. And how much, like, even the relationship of husband and wife, how much that could be that way. And you know what the answer to this is? Like, we need men. 7 men. What are they? Full of the Holy Spirit. I like it. One time, this person said to me, "Rex, my wife just doesn't support me in this." Oh, what a common kind of... Or, "My husband is blah." And then we just kind of like, you know, talked about life, talked about attitudes. And it kind of came down to this one thing. Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. It's like this. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, it's like there is ability to handle complaints. There's ability to handle the whole situation. I think of like maybe what about like all these older women? They're all complaining. And then you have Stephen. I'm full of the Spirit. Maybe he just could go to all those women, say, yeah, it'll be much better. Come here, come here, come here. Come here, Armin. Armin. Armin, you just complained. It's like, yeah. I really love you, brother, sister. And he's like, and then somebody will say, like, you complain. Don't you know the church is so whole? No. I'm full of the Spirit, Armin. It'll be okay. You know what? It's a person full of the Holy Spirit. There's something there. And then, you know, husband and wife, like, pretend we were husband and wife. Oh, I have that example, but I won't. You know, it's kind of like this, like, between husband and wife, it's kind of like this little, you know, some people will say this, it's not original, but like there's a little account that we have, unspoken, unwritten, whatever. Yeah. And everyone has that account in the back of their mind. You know, the wife does, husband does. And there's like this little account. And it's really great if both people would make deposits into that account. And then when the account gets really low, the other person just starts walking on eggshells, like, oh, no. You know, yeah, I'm sorry. I put the milk on skim milk instead of fat milk or whatever, fat-free milk. Or, you know, it's just a small thing, and there's no deposit in the account. And so everything is just really difficult. Where did the complaints come from? Oh, yeah. I mean, these widows, they had a legitimate complaint. Like, I'm not getting food. You know, but I don't know. Like, the church was not around that long. Where'd they get food before? I don't know, you know. And then I'm not sure. But, and then why didn't the widows have a prayer meeting and just say, let's try to really support the, yeah, let's try to, I don't know. There's a lot of things that they could have done. Like, or maybe they could have said, you know what, we just want to take care of this whole thing, you know. And, but instead, a complaint comes out. And then they just need, thank you, Armin, you can sit down. And they just needed somebody full of the Spirit just to put something in that account. And then it's kind of like this. Maybe a wife would think this. How can I just make my husband really happy? What could I do to make my husband really happy? Or what could I do? A husband would ask, what could I do to really meet the need of my wife? And instead of saying this like, oh, you know, she owes me, she doesn't support me in this way. It's like, no, what can I do to add to that whole thing? What could I do to add? And let me think about it. Let me consider it. And you ask, well, where does the strength come from? Hey, you know, the strength to do that came from praying loudly in the car and getting the police to come after you. What was it? It was like an intentional time. Lord, I have to be filled with the Spirit. And then what? I became a person full of the Spirit. And then you know what? They could handle all those complaining women. I don't know. I don't know how old they were. And it'd be interesting to think about what was going on. Like, how did they lodge that complaint? Were they just all like, did they talk about it for days and then finally like, everyone was just so heated up and then all of a sudden like, we have an issue. We're leaving. No, not, where would they go? Because that was the only church in the whole earth. I don't know. Maybe it's like, we will not stop complaining until, and they're like, oh, mercy, where's the men full of the Spirit? We got to go find this. I don't know what they did, But yes, Chip.
We went to a park in on the west side, and that in the morning watch, and the police shined their light on us.
So more police. Yeah. Very good, very good. Intentional filling of the Spirit, very good. You know, it comes again, this whole thing. So it's like complaints. And if a husband and a wife are both full of the Spirit, it just is like, no, I want to add to that account. I want to do something that is pleasing my wife. I want to do something that is pleasing my husband. And then the whole situation just becomes stronger. It becomes more full of just, grace, more full of joy. And that's what church life experiences, that's what marriage life experiences, all from the source of men being full, or people full of the Spirit. It also happens with some grace of the Lord. Let me read this, Acts 11. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. You know another thing that a person full of the Spirit can do? Can kind of see a situation where there's grace working. The grace of the Lord was working there. And a person full of the Spirit has some way to work with that situation, to cooperate with that situation. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And, you know, like, it's like the Lord was moving there in the in Antioch region, and in that city, Antioch. And then they said, let's send Barnabas there. Why? He's a man full of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think about people, think about even myself, just kind of like professional ruiners of God's move. Professional ruiners. You know, one time this little cartoon came out, you know, it was like somebody was trying to help another person grow, you know, grow spiritually. And the other person was this little plant. And then this person was walking around the plant saying, grow, grow. In other words, or get saved, or grow, I want you to change. And then he got frustrated. So they just tried to make it grow. And so they just took their finger and just started pulling. And then, boom, the pot plant came out. The plant got higher, yes. But a person full of the Spirit, so restful. So restful. Oh, that person didn't get saved. I'm really restful. Oh, that person is not growing so quickly. It's fine. Let's just try another thing. Let's just have something else. Some other response to the Spirit. A person not full of the Spirit sometimes wants too many things to happen. A person not full of Spirit sometimes just doesn't care what happens to the other person. A person not full of the Spirit sometimes selfish, very selfish. A person not full of the Spirit sometimes just utterly powerless to change. But a person being full of the Spirit somehow is just able to help out things. Somehow just able to help out things. Maybe like this. If you're not full of the Spirit, the person will say this. A person will say this. You know, I've really been wondering about God recently, you know, and a person not full of the Spirit is like, there's no way, no way, no way, you know, or you don't even hear it, don't even hear the thought, or you don't even hear it, you don't recognize it. But a person full of the Spirit, you just become sensitive. And when somebody says, hey, just wondering about, you know, last year I wasn't really interested in God, but this year I'm a little bit more. All of a sudden, somebody full of the Spirit, just that's sensitive. Oh, that is something of the Lord's move. And then what do you do after that? Oh, I don't know. But the Spirit knows. And somehow Barnabas, when he was full of the Spirit, just kind of knew how to work with the whole situation. And what happened? A great many people were added to the Lord. Well, it's really good. A person full of the Spirit maybe can deal with complaints much better. A person full of the Spirit, when the Lord moves in the people among them, you know what? There's just a way to work with all the things that are going on. And you ask, how could I be filled? What are intentional things? Well, I would just say like this, these examples of like, hey, if you have a time in the morning or at some time in the day where there's an intentional filling of the Lord, wow, that can have a lot of different consequences. You could be full of the Spirit if that happens again and again and again. And then there's one other verse here. I'll just read this to you. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. And look at this. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. I kind of like it. One time, a brother and I were in a coffee shop, and we read this verse. Okay, do not get drunk with wine, that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms. And so we just tried it. We tried it. And it's like, because the Bible said he wasn't going that far, or it wasn't, I don't know where it was going. So we just took Psalm 23. Come on, Armin. Armin, I want to let you know, the Lord is my shepherd. And I don't want anything. I don't want anything. The Lord is my shepherd. And he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Anyway, and then we did that through the psalm. And it was kind of awkward, you know, it's like, because, I don't know, what do you respond to? What's your response? Me too. But at least we're not talking about like what new Cleveland team is losing. What other Cleveland team, you know. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And you know, we just did that. And it was a little bit awkward. It was a little bit weird. But at the end, we were like, hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know, and I don't know why, like, I sometimes wonder, like, why do Bible studies work? Maybe that's why Bible studies work. You know, because you're just doing this. You're kind of touching this. And then when you're, you know, in a Bible study, kind of touching it and kind of doing that. And then it's just like this filling of the Spirit. And it's not really the Bible that gets encouraging, but it's the filling of the Spirit that, wow, that's like, we touched it. We got satisfied. We got filled. And that's what this verse says. Be filled in Spirit, addressing one another in psalms. Thank you. Singing. Use dishwashing time. Sing. You know, you're washing dishes. You can either complain or you can like just wash dishes. What was the last song? Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we trust you. Jesus, as I wash this plate, I give my life to you. You drive. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, thank you. That guy cut me off. Jesus, I give my life to you. Jesus, help me not get caught by a speeding camera. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I give my life to you. And you know what? Your drive is just filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Then you have that, Jesus, I love you. And then there's a complaint. And you're like, okay, let's work on that. Yeah, let's work on that. Let's try to work with that. And what is that? Full of the Spirit. It looks like Jesus. I'll stop there. We're going to just have some prayer. Or if somebody wants to, like, just address us with a psalm, that's okay.